There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Super Wednesday as we talk about the votes from yesterday and Super Tuesday and the runoffs to come. And we'll discuss this with one of the names that's on the ballot here in the runoff. We'll see on March 31st, Mobile County Commissioner and candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary, Jerry Carl, in studio as we start on this Wednesday. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, sir.
I know that, this is, you've built up the muscle to run on very little sleep probably over the decades, let alone this campaign. But it was probably, today is a pretty good example of turning it around.
I'm stretching it today. Yesterday was pretty taxing.
Let's talk about that. Like what a day, because a little insight into this. Because we're all interested, those of us that haven't run for office, what is like the day of like?
Yesterday I got up at 4:30. I'm sorry, I got up at 4. We were in Robertsdale at 6:15 starting our breakfast. Between there and 5 o'clock, we had stopped at 9 different polls, thanking, our poll workers, greeting a few folks, just doing what we needed to do. We made sure we had a good lunch. Went by Big Time Diner, of course, and had us good lunch. It's always a great place to meet people and talk to folks. 5 o'clock, we kind of locked ourselves up, got about an hour of rest, and then we got ready for the numbers to start coming in. And we just focused on numbers. Our job was over with. Once the polls close, the numbers start coming in. But
that's going to be a weird that feeling though. Yeah. At that point, you can't. There's nothing else you can do.
That's it. You've worked. For us, it's been almost a year and a half solid that we've worked on it, and just to be there at that moment is quite it's reality. It just kind of hits you all of a sudden. Then you're at the mercy of the voters, and you hope that you've done your job and you've got your message across.
Well, obviously, more folks believed the message you brought to them than anybody else.
Well, I still haven't seen the final numbers. I have not seen the final numbers. We got up this
morning. I don't know if the ones I have are final, so I won't. Yeah. But
well, even there's supposed to be a newspaper article. Our newspaper was that. There's supposed to be an article on the internet that talks about we had won. I haven't even read that article yet, but we've already assembled our team this morning, and we've got a plan put together, and we're ready to go.
And I'm looking at, and it may have changed since, but the story I was looking at, one we're quoting this morning, Jerry Carl edged out Hightower by 1,226 votes.
That's not bad considering we started at 11%.
Yeah.
And he started at 42.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty, that's what I'm saying. I want to set this up. This is we talk about finishing strong.
Right.
You define that. You just defined that. You finished very strong.
Well, thank you. There's a lot of people that's helped me do that, and our message that we're trying to, we tried to get out. Then, we're very passionate about our VA community. We're very passionate on our stance on abortion. We're very passionate on supporting President Trump in Washington, and we're we've proven ourselves as county commissioners. As a county commissioner, we've got backbone. We've made decisions that some people don't like. But that's part of leadership. That's just part of good management. You have to make the best decisions in your mind and be able to accept it, move on. And I think we've done it, and I think that vote yesterday proves it. And I really think we can take this momentum. Just keep our folks and keep delivering the same message we have been for the last 12 months, and take it right on into March the 31st.
This is something I said to you when you came in here and announced that you're running. Right, and we were talking about it, and I said the job that you have as county commissioner, This I think prepares you for the House maybe better than any other position. Even coming from a mayor's, I think county commission, the nature of what you do as a county commissioner, and I've watched this for you and others that are commissioners, really dovetails into what the job is for a member of the House of Representatives.
I think so also. I mean, we're dealing with these same issues on a daily basis. Maybe not on a federal level.
Right. The issues
but,
may be.
But we're in the ditches. We're the ones. I'm the one digging the dirt at this point.
Right.
So, I want to take these same issues on to Washington and see if we can fix it at a different level.
Let's talk about some of those issues when we come back, continuing our conversation with County Commissioner and, of course, AL1 runoff candidate Jerry Carl. Coming right back. Your questions, too. Text line open for you at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Super Wednesday as we're looking in the rearview at Super Tuesday yesterday. And this is cliche, but I'm going to go with it. The all-out sprint to the runoff, March 31st. Have y'all got 4 weeks?
27 days.
That's it.
27 days.
It used to be six.
It used to be 6 weeks, right? Yeah. But they changed it for what reason, I truly don't know. But I think you'll hear most of the candidates say that's fine with us. I think we'll all
ready
agree
for
with
a
that.
Decision.
Yeah, we've punched. We're about punched out in 4 weeks. Sounds pretty good.
Let me talk about this because you tell me as much as you could tell me. But running a campaign for anything is not cheap, right? Running a campaign.
That's the hardest part of any campaign.
Right?
Money. Yeah. It's all.
I mean, we talk so about hard. This all the time. If so and so would have had more money and more time and more money, it's always this money thing. So, y'all, a big part of you're campaigning, but you're also campaigning for donations.
Yes. I mean, most of our time is spent on the telephone raising money.
And that's what things people don't realize.
Yeah. And if you think it's hard to call and ask for somebody to buy a box of cookies from your Girl Scout, your granddaughter,
right.
You need to call and ask somebody for, $2,800 for your campaign. And they're going, what?
Yeah.
What? So there's a lot of money. Our money, all of ours, I think somewhere close to 98%. And don't hold me to exactly these numbers. I'll be off one way or the other a little bit. But 98% of our money came from within this district.
From within AL1.
Yes, from within AL1. I think Hightower's is somewhere around 50% has come from outside his district, and it's going to be even higher than that because now he's got the Club for Growth, which for people that don't know who the Club for Growth is, the Club for Growth is actually the original Never Trumpers. They've got some very strange, strong beliefs. Open borders is one of them. So, but they have put, they've already put down $240,000, which we'll see come out on we anticipate a negative ad here pretty soon.
So if they're going to, if you have a group like Club for Growth, a PAC coming in,
right.
and to the benefit of one candidate, we know the rules, there can be no communication between the campaign, the PAC,
right.
yada, yada, yada. Okay. So the PAC comes in backing somebody, but neither you or Bill Hightower have served in the House of Representatives.
Correct.
Okay. Is there a litmus test? Do they come in and say, if you'd like our backing, we want you to pledge? Is it like a taxpayer would pledge that you're going to be for open borders? Or do they do that?
They interviewed all of us. Chris Pringle and I talked about this at length because we both interviewed with them. And of course, I left there scratching my head when they started talking about open borders. I said, well, I can't go along with that. I'm not.
So they're coming into AL1. Do they realize where they are? And they're asking Republican
candidates for a vote. They're asking
to be
for
open
a
board.
Vote. Yeah, well, they're
they
asking,
not read the room here.
They're asking for when the time comes, will you support that with them? And I couldn't do it. They were asking Chris some on the ag committees about voting on some issues with the ag committees. Excuse me, about to lose my voice. And on the ag committees, and Chris has he basically told them the same thing. I'm not your man. I'm not going to take your money. But, it's more than $240,000. It is, Hightower's probably gotten somewhere between $60,000 to $70,000 already, and there'll be more on top of that. It'll be, you can throw a number pretty much anything you want to, or we can guess at it, but it'll be close to $500,000. I mean, they're trying their best to buy this. election.
You, so you're going to have to be, y'all going to have to be back on the phones today.
Oh, we're already doing that. We're already raising money this morning. We have to.
Tim is on the text line, says, what does Jerry Carl think would make him a good candidate outside of being a county commissioner? What credentials, what kind of background?
Business. My entire life has been business, much like Donald Trump's. I've built companies, sold companies, and I still have some that some small ones that we still operate. But my business background, I understand what it's like to sign a check. I understand what it's like for the small mom and pop that want to start their own business. I understand the rules and regulations that the federal government's that's truly imposing on we the people when we're starting these new businesses, and it's just horrible. You know, it used to be if you had a good idea and a good work ethic, you could put those two together and make a business, mm-hmm. make a successful business. But that's not true anymore. You can have both of those, and then you start having to jump hurdles with the federal government and all the rules and regulations. Donald Trump's done a great job of cutting back on rules and regulations. We have a long way to go, and I'm there to support him, and let's start cutting some back. But my business background.
You know, Jerry, this is a question I've asked of a lot of people running for office. Talk about President Trump, and I almost want to take that off the table because I think we have pretty strong support among anybody that's been running on the Republican side for President Trump. But he gets reelected, serves another 4 years. Eventually, you know, there's a chance that members of the House of Representatives or the Senate will be there long after President Trump is not in office. So is this a situation where it's a one and done? In other words, this whole Main Street populist thing goes away when President Trump leaves office? Or do you think there's like the legacy of Reagan rang true in Washington, maybe to some degree still does? Do you think that's there in Washington? Is that and how do you make sure it is?
You know, I see a movement in even the Democrat Party. I know what we're seeing is going on with the presidential race right now, but I'm looking at local Democrats. I talked to a lot of them yesterday at the polling that actually stopped and talked to me about my ads and mm-hmm. told me how much they liked it and what part they agreed. You know, you see a movement of those people. When I say those people, the Democrats, you know, they're beginning to scratch their heads too about the mm-hmm. direction the Democrat Party's going. Democrat Party's got to change. They can't keep pushing this socialism and communism. We're not going to take it. I'm fortunate. I've got a group of Cambodians that's in my district, and I got to talk to them the other night. And the oldest Cambodian there is roughly about 82 years old, and he started talking to me about losing his wife and his two daughters. You know, I'm not going to get into details, but it was horrible, him telling the story. He says, you know, America needs to wake up and understand what this socialist / communist is all about. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy lived through it in Cambodia. So, but I think the American people are smarter than that. Do I think it's going to carry on? Yes.
Okay.
I think it's got we, the elected officials, standing firm more. Mm-hmm. We're not, our backs are not near as jelly as they used to be, because we can stand with some unpopular choices, or mm-hmm. I feel like I can. And as long as I stand my ground and it works out the way I think it's going to work out, people will come back over to my side and go, great job.
Because I think that's one of the things that, you know, obviously your job, if elected, is to AL1.
Correct.
But at the same time, what benefits AL1 might be, if you believe in the Trump ideology moving forward, then yeah, there has to be some you have to do some street preaching. You have to be a prophet to I mean, because eventually people seem to forget he wins another 4 years. Those 4 years are over, and he is gone.
And it'll be someone else.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll have to work together. But you know, the Republican Party does have to work together. Right, let's keep that in mind. We do have to work as a pack, but we can still have a voice in that pack, and we can be leaders, not followers. And leaders is being able to stand up and actually stand up for you people in 01 and say we can do it or we can't do it, and be able to, you know, take the blunt of that choice. But President Trump has done a tremendous in turning politics around in this country. I mean, whether you like him or not, I bet you know it, you recognize his name.
Yeah.
And you understand what he says, it's darn near perfect.
Yeah.
And you may not agree with him. I left the house this morning. I didn't agree with my wife when I left the house. But I hope she lets me back in when I get there. And the same with Donald Trump. He has that charismatic appeal about him that people go, we'll forgive him on that, and chances are he's going to be right.
Let's have some more questions for the text line. So Dale's asking what kind of business you're in.
Primarily home health care equipment, hospital beds, wheelchairs, oxygen, that type of stuff. Also real estate. I bought and sold, done a little bit of developing, some commercial stuff and residential stuff. I have sold funeral home supplies. I've sold fruit and vegetables. I've sold church furniture. I've sold a little bit of everything.
And you've only been doing it for a couple years?
Yeah, a couple years.
People need to hear your story at length. It's something. Let's talk about things that are AL1 issues that may not be the issue for other Republicans in the House. And I mean, I'm thinking of one here, tariffs, right? And let's think about infrastructure. I mean, we got to get a bridge.
Yes. No tolls.
With no tolls.
Correct.
But we got to, and I think there's nothing I've read or seen, and even heard President Trump talk about the future of funding for these things, the old days of the federal government coming in here and paying like all of it or lion's share. That's not happening. But we got to get more than we did offered in this last time.
And I agree. I made a statement at one of the forums. I said the federal government is broke, and that's true. That's a true statement, but that's not an excuse not to keep trying. That's not an excuse for us, our efforts. We've got to get the funding for that. We also need to try to figure out some funding for the Foley Beach Expressway. We have got to figure out a way to get 30,000 cars in and out of Baldwin County in a 24-hour period of time versus what they have today, because it doesn't work. Baldwin County needs some help, and that expressway would be huge. That expressway, the bridge, it all plays right into our economic development projects, and you know me well enough, that's always where my focus mm-hmm. is at, jobs.
Yep.
As long as a man's got a job and can provide for his family, you know, things are peaceful when he gets home, and that's good.
Yep.
And that's where it should be.
Let's talk a bit about our situation here with having Airbus and ArcelorMittal and other companies that are with international bases, but they put a lot of people in those jobs.
They do. And I bumped into all the Airbus last night. All the Airbus, I assume they had a meeting downtown, but several of them were actually from Germany. So I stood there and chit-chatted with them just a few minutes. But mm-hmm. it's kind of nice when they recognize you.
Yeah.
And you get to stand and talk to them. But, you know, there's so many of those jobs. I talked to a guy the other day that was one of the first ones they hired. He lives out near me. I didn't know it. I actually met him at a poll yesterday. And he's talking about some expansion that they're doubling the lines, and of course I'm sticking them going, oh, we need to double that. We don't need to make 8. We need to make 16.
Right. Good.
We don't want to be the fourth largest in the world. We want to be the largest plane manufacturer in the world. But you know, that's just one of many, and we work on a lot of projects. Maybe not that big. Small ones are good, and we've also can't lose focus on our local businesses. These projects do benefit our local businesses.
Okay. But if we're in a situation here where, and it seems like the USMCA is taking care of one issue here, getting things evened up, right, mm-hmm. between United States and Mexico. But China, I mean, we're not even, I don't think we're close to the end of those negotiations.
Well, I think this coronavirus thing has shown how vulnerable China truly is. I mean, they're shut down right now, so they've got to continue paying people. I mean, it's a communist country, and they're going to continue paying pennies, granted, but they've got to continue paying, and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I mean, did you see the pollution? We're just a few days stopped working, how the pollution had cleared up over China, mm-hmm. Just from an aerial view. So, you know, we've got to get China to a point where we can be negotiating on an equal basis.
Because that's one of the things. I mean, if somebody
and the
lived,
technology. Let me tell you that my pharmaceutical background. I've owned several pharmacies. I left that out a while ago. But from a pharmaceutical standpoint, we're looking at vaccines. The majority of vaccines, including penicillin, is made in China. The majority of the bases of the drugs that we do manufacture outside of China, the bases are made in China. So it's scary, but it's wonderful opportunities for we, the Americans, to wake up and say, let's start making penicillin in America. And we can do it. Textile is another great example. All the textile business, I grew up in the textile business, bringing those jobs back to America, that's what it's all about.
But then there's, and we're going to run to the news break here, but then there's also the specific, as this trade war or tariff war, whatever's going on, the Portobello.
Oh,
obviously a big deal for AL1. So we come back, we'll talk more about that. And take your questions, too, on the text line. Lots coming in here. You can keep them coming at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with AL1 candidate on the Republican primary in the runoff, Jerry Carl. Of course, Mobile County Commissioner as well. And 20, I thought 4 weeks. You said 20, how many days?
27 days.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, 27 days.
And you pointed out, too, so people understand it, you're campaigning at the same time you're raising money.
Right. We'll raise about close to 40% of what we raised all last year. We got to raise in a four-week period.
I wish we had the webcam on in here. You should have seen my face.
Once again, we don't have big PACs out of Washington that are supporting us. We're a mom and pop organization here.
Yeah, what was the stat you gave us earlier? How the money that came to your campaign?
The money that came to our campaign is about 98% local.
Within AL1.
Within AL1, and Hightower's is about 50+% outside. Either it came from Birmingham, Huntsville, or Washington. One of those three areas.
Okay. Adrian says, what's Jerry Carl's view on the debt and the deficit? Not what Obama caused, but what's been accrued since 2016. How do you plan on combating that and bringing it down?
You know, I understand that and I get it. We've got to get that under control. You know, we've literally got to sit down and start looking at some of these programs. Being involved in local government, I mean, it gets silly sometimes, the federal money that's there. And the attitude is we have to spend it or they'll take it back. And if they take it back, they'll cut us next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the attitude that we deal with a lot with all government.
But there's some truth in that.
Well, okay.
I look at it at a state government level, right? And I wish there was another way because it's
but
not.
But there's so many social programs that, I mean, you can make.
I'm with you.
The average person that does not want to work can draw all their social programs and make roughly $11.80 an hour sitting on the couch.
Pretty good, if you could take that much couch time. I mean, but that would be your job in the House of Representatives.
Well, of course start picking it apart. You will not turn that battleship around overnight. I mean, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort from a lot of people.
But that's what I'm saying. The legislative branch, the same way I say it here in Alabama, has to tackle that because when you look at a department of government, I think more statewise, I'm thinking they're going to work within the system established. And the system established says if they don't spend, and I hate it because it's wasteful, if they don't spend the money, they'll get docked in next year's budget. That's wrong, and the legislature needs to change that. But I do get if you're running the department, you sure don't want to be at a deficit next year, and then there's a big increase in the workload for you or something like that.
How about a simple balanced budget?
Preach,
you know, and through these good economy times, you know, we'll have some positive cash flow. We can start paying that debt down. I mean, we're $22 trillion in debt, and I love to tell this story. It just blows my mind. But you can take $22 trillion $1 bills and stack them up. You can go to the moon and back three and a half times.
No,
you can circle the earth 8 times.
If elected, will you still be talking about that in Washington? Because I talked to so many that
we have to.
Because it is my wheelhouse, right? Fiscal conservatism drives a lot in me, and then I see Washington be this.
You know, the only
machine where everybody agrees to spend more money.
The only thing I'm a little bit fearful of is anybody that gets elected into any office, there is some time there you have to learn. I don't care who it is. You've got to learn the ropes. That's going to take, you know, that's going to take a little bit of ground time. But why would you not keep pushing that? That's what got you elected. That's what your people want done. So do their job or stay home, one of the two.
All right, Scott says, ask Jerry Carl if you are for term limits.
I am. Someone asked me that the other day. I think under the Senate, having two terms, which would be 12 years, makes sense. So therefore, I say apply it to the House members also.
All right.
12 years.
All right. This one from David. As a freshman congressman, Mr. Carl will have little influence in Washington. How will Mr. Carl be able to ensure that Austell gets a fair shake on the frigate contract competition.
Well, I think Bradley Burns has done an incredible job keeping that project alive. I think we're going to have an answer to that frigate project I think that's supposed to come through in the spring, early spring, late spring, somewhere in the spring. So hopefully that one will already be in place, and then it's just a matter of, and if I can get on that committee, it would make it even better.
And that is,
yeah,
that is something we saw. I'm thinking back, so when Bradley Byrne was elected, went there, it was with some quickness that he was on some pretty key committees.
Yep. And as
an AL1er, I like that.
Yeah, yeah, and because we're looking after the interests of the jobs here and the people here.
Right.
And, of course, that's a national security issue when you start talking about Austal. You start talking about those ships. I mean, the speed and the response of those are just incredible. We civilians don't appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But something happens, and you've got to get 600 Marines on a beach somewhere, and you can get it there. You can get them there in a tenth of the time. I mean, it's incredible what they can do.
Yeah, it's
you have to.
I mean, you have to get other people to work with you too in the committee, right, to make that happen.
And that's true. The chances of us, there will be a Republican elected in this position. So after March the 31st, I suggest that we already start working on that and start working on those committees we want to be on. I know we're not elected. We won't be elected until November. We'll have to run against a Democrat. I promise you, I haven't read Newsday. I don't even know.
It's a runoff as well.
Is it? Okay.
So it's a runoff between Gardner and Averhart.
Okay.
Are in a runoff here for the AL1 Democrat nomination.
But theoretically, historically, they can't win. I mean, you're talking about 30% in this district. But
yes.
Now's the time. As soon as we decide who's actually going to be the Republican nominee, that's the time to start working on these committees. That's the time to start trying to get connected up there where you can look after our interests.
And I can imagine that the current congressman, of course, Bradley Byrne, probably will point folks in the right direction.
Well, the sign of a great leadership is how he leaves it. So, you know, I would think that he would certainly want to leave it in good hands, and mean it in good hands, and where everyone knows where everything's at.
Yes, to the benefit of AL1.
Sure.
All right, can you hold on a second?
Sure.
Go to the news break, coming right back. More with Jerry Carl.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday, and get back to our conversation with Jerry Carl in one second. I want to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and see what's shaking at the shop on this Wednesday. Hey, man.
Hey, man. How's it going today?
It's going good. What are we looking at right now for precious metals? Not only are y'all somewhere we can buy and sell precious metals, you're pretty darn good educators on this.
Well, we love to talk to our customers when they come in to buy gold or silver, whether they're buying a piece of jewelry, buying some gold or silver bullion, investing in some rare coins. We want to talk to them and teach them and make sure they understand what it is they're buying and make sure that the product that they're picking out makes sense for what they want it for, what their needs are. And you're right. We love talking to people. We love educating them on what we're doing with all this stuff. Gold and silver have been climbing. You know, it shot up, it shot back down and rebounded a little bit. Now it's gradually climbing back up again. Silver right now is over 17 and still climbing. And gold is 1630, 1640 right now.
All right. And y'all let Angelo, when you go in there, tell what he told me years ago, why he said, Sean, you need to look at, because I said, oh, it's gold. And he said, yeah, okay, that's good. But also look at silver. You give people that same education you gave me?
Yes, sir. Every single day. A lot of us aren't numbers people. Some of us are. But ultimately, you've got to look at the numbers and let the numbers tell you what the smart decision is.
All right. So if we're talking about gift items for precious metal or those open L knives, give people a direction to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com, or like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And continue our conversation with Jerry Carl. And in the runoff, of course, 27 days to go.
27 days, that's right.
27 days. And why do I feel like a little bit of a flashback to our AL1 Republican debate, because I have you sitting here, and then I look down on the phone, man, I was hanging out with on Monday as well, Wes Lambert joining us now. Hey, Wes.
Joan, Jerry, how are y'all?
Hey, Wes, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. I tell you, it was a great race. I enjoyed getting to know you and your family. It was just a blessing to me and my family.
Well.
My wife loves
well.
You, by the way. And I like your cooking, so I guess it's a win-win for you.
It is. And, you know, I heard you talking about Club for Growth earlier, and they interviewed me as well up there. And, you know, they had one question they'd asked me is if I would, they were talking about Austin. And it was the defense budget, and if we'd be for the defense budget. And I told them yes, because Austin is down here, and they didn't like that answer. But, you know, I told them as well that I could not be your person. Yeah. I mean, we have to be for AL01. And,
So wait a second. To hear from both of you, that would you be for open borders and would you be for not funding Austell? Those were their litmus tests for
and
somebody?
Also turning on the farm community. So that, I think the question to Chris was, would you be in favor of stopping all subsidies to the farm community? And Chris just flat told him no. I didn't get asked either one of those two questions. That's the first time I've heard that one. Wes said.
Yeah, I was there when the defense budget was coming out at the end of July. So that was the main question, but it was the weirdest interview I had ever been in.
It was very strange. It was like Big Brother. It was very strange.
So, but I don't want to take all of Jerry's time, and he's deserved this. He's done a great job, but I just want to tell him our camp's going to endorse Jerry Carl for Congress,
man.
And I look forward to helping him.
Thank you, Wes.
I think he's the best person that we have running, and I've learned a lot from him and Chris. And they're family to me now, and I think y'all can see that through a lot of the debate. But I look forward to working with Jerry and doing whatever we can to get him to Washington.
And thank you so much, Wes. You have no idea what that means to me. And yes, we have become a family. That's one thing, politics, competing against one another. You kind of off out of the sight. You kind of become a family. Most of us, anyway.
You really do. But I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to talking to you soon, Jerry. And Sean, I want to stay on your show as well, just to talk about other things that's going on in life as well.
There's plenty of that for sure.
And I hope, Wes,
don't be a stranger.
Wes, I hope this doesn't stop you from getting in something else, because we can use you and as an elected official. You'll find your spot. You'll find your place, trust me. Don't let this discourage you.
I will. Not
please.
My name's out a little bit more, so, you know, I've enjoyed this thoroughly, and I look forward to continue doing something,
all
but
right.
we're going to help you first.
Thank you. Wow, that's
yes,
huge.
Sir.
All right. Hey, thank you, Wes. So endorsement. That's got to feel good
that,
here.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
with 27 days ago, and you hear day one, you have one of the people that just yesterday you were running against calls into.
Yeah, we've really become. That
y'all all acted right, by the way. Side note, y'all all acted right.
I think that, well, we were able to keep outside influence out of it, and I think was the biggest thing that we did, and we all talked together, we broke bread together. I mean, we tried to, our families, you know, would get together. So it was a ordeal. This one, I'm afraid, probably going to be a little different.
Yeah, you know, we can hope it wouldn't be, but we'll see this as you have a you know, you won in total vote numbers, but it is, I mean, it
very
was close, and obviously,
very close.
Very close, and a runoff, and now you've got to make the case, I'm sure, to the people who came out and voted for you yesterday. They all got to show back up.
And just because they voted for Wes and Wes endorses me, that doesn't mean they're going to vote for me. But that will perk their ears up, and that'll get their interest to look and see, you know, what about Jerry Carl would we vote for, and or Bill Hightower, what would we vote for? You know, same with Chris Pringle's people. You know, Chris's folks, we share a lot of the same people. I mean, even our families. Our families grew up together, so.
Mm-hmm.
It was a strange situation, but now, you know, I'm gonna reach out to those folks and say, please, you know, look me over, give me a second look. You know, Chris is no longer in it. I understand supporting Chris. I mean, Chris has been a friend of mine for a number of years, and I love what Chris told me one day. He says, Jerry, I'm not running against you. I'm running for the position, and mm-hmm. I thought that was huge.
And that resonated during y'all's primary. I mean, it did. It did, because you can look around, and it's not true everywhere, but it's been true, and I would hope and pray it stays that way in the runoff. We'll watch this. All right, I know you got to hit the ground because y'all got to start dialing telephones, doing more of this.
Please answer your phones when I call.
When you see Jerry Carl calling, pick up your phone. Right. We'll talk again here real soon.
Oh, please. And anytime I can get on, I love your show.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you stopping by this day after
Thank
when you're working on the very few hours of sleep and you got telephone calls to make.
And anyone looking for information, www.jerrycarl.com or Facebook, Jerry Carl for Congress.
All right.
Try www.jerrycarlforcongress.com.
Yeah.
That sounds better.
Yeah, there. So jerrycarlforcongress.com.
Yeah, Google that, and I should pop up.
There we go. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. I'll see you at the boat show this weekend,
I'll see you at the boat show. Yeah, absolutely. We'll be setting up tomorrow, and we're live broadcasting Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So come by and see us.
Thank you.
Come by and get one of the – I got some floating keychains. Let's say FM Talk 106.5.
I just need to be able to get on the water – to have to worry about a floating keychain.
You got some. This is going to be a while.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Hey, coming up in the next hour, because moving the schedule with Auburn basketball this evening, what's working with Cam Marston, usually here at 6 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5, will air in the 1 o'clock hour. So shift, time shift, this happens, and you know this is what goes on here for the next couple weeks as we go through the tournament as well, SEC tournament, and maybe beyond for Auburn basketball. But Auburn basketball tonight, moving time, so therefore coming up at the about 5.5 minutes after the hour, after news, we'll start What's Working with my buddy Cam Marston. So stay tuned for that. Check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, also facebook.com/fmtalk1065, and find me directly over on the Twitter at fmtalk1065. All right, talk to y'all manana. It'll be a Thursday. We'll have lots to do on Mobile Mornings.